Good afternoon. This is Brad House. You're here with Bike Sport Radio. Bike Sport Radio on the air at killradio.org. Today is Monday, May 4th at 12 noon. Today we got a guest in the studio, Eric Smith of the SCNCA, and we'll go over our results and do live reads from upcoming races in Southern California. I'm Brad House, and you're here with Bike Sport Radio featuring the sport of competitive cycling, where we talk about bike racing, bike racers, and what you need to race bikes. All right, let's go to results. Last weekend, the San Luis Rey Road Race, the Mark Reynolds Memorial San Luis Rey Road Race. In the pro women's category, in third place, Catherine Donovan from Velo Club Lagrange Kahala, third place. Second place, Team Helens, Michelle Orem. And your winner from Kahala Lagrange, Morgan Kapp. In the pro men's, third place, now MS Society's Nick Sanderson. In second place, Liquid Fitness, Rudy Napolitano. And your winner from Velo Club Lagrange, George Alvarado. Now, the Mark Reynolds San Luis Rey Road Race was an excellent course down there east of Oceanside. We've got some live sounds down there. The category fours and fives up next.
Quan Lu, cat fours. Water. I got you water right here, man. Fourth or fifth? Looks good. Fifth place. Nice. Very nice. And you did good. Derek, you're right there. You want to... No, yours is this one, right?
The other one.
One of these?
The white one.
Okay. Campbell here. All right, Cat Force just finishing up here. San Luis Rey Bike Sport Radio. We are on the radio. Good job. Who won? Did you see who won? Did Hall win it again?
No, he didn't. I believe he got third or second.
Okay, so somebody else beat him. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a group of you at the last climb then? Is it the four of you or five of you together at the last climb?
Someone broke away.
One guy?
Some guys did. They stayed together. Large gap formed. I was in the back.
Yeah.
Pushed myself up the hill and caught up, but they got the upper hand on me and had a little more energy.
Right.
At the end.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a flat section here for a sprint, for a run after a sprint. Good course, though.
Yeah.
Nice. Good job. All right.
We got a chance to catch up with the promoter also at San Luis Rey. That's put on by Cello Pacific. And here's a shout out to David Bales and the group and Don Elling and everybody for doing a great job out there. Chatted with the promoter down there at San Luis Rey.
All right, now we're here with one of the promoters from Cello Pacific, the Mark Reynolds Memorial San Luis Rey Road Race. David?
Well, race seems to be going pretty well. Had a pretty good, decent turnout, even though we had a little bit of a course change at the last minute, thanks to the county. But what can we say? You know, but it seems to be good.
It's a great day out here. The weather warmed up just right. It's not too hot or anything, and good turnout. How's the club feel so far about it?
I think that we're pretty surprised. Everything seems to have run really smooth. We haven't had any major mishaps. So things are going well.
Good. Good job to Cello Pacific at the Mark Reynolds San Luis Rey Road Race. Getting ready to start the Pro Men and the Masters 35 coming up next. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
All right. We had a chat with some racers out there. We got real racers at San Luis Rey. This is one of the Ironfly racers, Mike Sojka.
Coming down before the last turnaround, Adrian's like, watch that guy. Last year at Sisquatch, he took off on his own and held it for like 10 miles.
We're here with Bike Sport Radio.
I didn't watch him, and then I was off the front.
And it was an Ironfly day. How'd you do?
I don't know, top 50.
Tell us your name for the radio.
Mike Sojka.
Yeah. And you did what, three?
I don't know, third? Probably top 15. I don't know.
Okay, cool.
I don't know.
Cool. How was the course? What do you think of the new course change? It's a little different course.
I liked it. You know, it was clean. The roads were in pretty good condition.
Yeah.
Cone placement could have been a little better.
Yeah.
There was a car coming out of that first turn after the descent.
Oh.
On the right side, that was a little sketchy.
Right.
Otherwise, that was good.
Right. All right. Men's Category 4s, San Luis Rey Road Race, Bike Sport Radio.
All right. San Luis Rey Road Race. The Masters 45 had a very large field out there at San Luis Rey, and we did catch up to some of the top riders. There was a breakaway of two riders off the front, and let's go to them now. Those two riders talk about how their event went.
Nice.
This is Brad House with Bike Sport Radio. We're at the San Luis Rey Road Race. Just finished up the Masters 45, and I'm with, who am I with here? Todd
Parks.
Todd Parks and
Mike Aluza.
Mike Aluza, and you guys were off the front.
Yeah.
So what happened out there? We saw you going by, and then you guys in the breakaway had teamwork going on, and then it looked like you guys were going to finish one and two. So how did it go? Tell us the story.
Well, we got away on the downhill, third lap, or the second lap. Stayed away. We were at a steady pace.
Yeah, nice and steady.
Kept it steady. About partway into the last lap, and on the flat they broke a spoke.
This was before the final climb?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. So what'd you do, Todd?
I just kept initiating an attack on the downhill, and then
right.
I got away, and he came up, and then we made the left-hand turn, and we just...
He wasn't there?
I'm sorry?
And then he wasn't there?
No, he was there.
Okay, so you rode the broken spoke all the way up?
No, he broke the spoke right before the turnaround, right?
Yeah, this was
the first turnaround.
And then we just kind of, from that point, kind of steadied it, and then we noticed a great group was coming back. I think we had a minute, right, at one point?
Well,
yeah, you guys had a pretty good gap, and it was in check, and you guys were free and clear.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how did it end? What happened? I didn't see that.
It ended once they came on the hill, and we went. And
they caught us.
Yeah.
The group caught you.
Yeah.
Oh!
Third way up the hill.
It looked like you guys had one and two sewn up there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I think we could have been, I think if the spoke hadn't broke, and we would have kept the tempo a little hotter.
Yeah.
Right.
We could have clearly made the top.
Right.
Oh, you guys are gone.
Bomber. So it's a big field sprint then, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the change of course made a big difference.
Yeah. Who got the field sprint?
So many riders normally on the third lap.
Louis Amelbrow.
Yeah.
There's only a couple guys.
All right.
That,
so. All right. Good race, guys.
Yeah.
Brad House, Bike Sport Radio, San Luis Rey. Bike Sport Radio.
All right. We had a chance to chat with some helpers in the feed zone. Here's a real feeder out here. This is Willie, and Willie was feeding his son out there in the race at San Luis Rey.
Yeah, we're watching the men's category 3s racing at San Luis Rey. Ben Berdinger is out there with San Luis Rey. I'm here with Willie, his dad. How you doing today?
Pretty good.
Nice and warm, huh?
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, good. We're in the feed zone here, and are you guys, you're feeding him?
Yep, okay. We're waiting to see if he wants some water or something.
Right. Do you know how long his race is?
It's four laps.
Four laps. So 59 miles. Then.
Yeah.
Okay. And how's he doing right now?
He looks like he's doing leaders. Pretty good. He was looking pretty comfortable. He was up near the front.
Good.
Good, Dan.
Good. All right. Eric Velasquez. He's a state champion, right? Still? Cyclocross state? No.
He didn't win a state championship last year. The previous years
won right.
Two track state championships and one crit state championship.
Oh, very good. Very good. So he's a sprinter. And this course is kind of favoring a little sprinters today. There's only 400 feet or 500 feet of climbing or so. So we'll see how he does.
He likes climbing. He's actually likes long races.
Okay.
Yeah, he was probably disappointed they cut it out one lap.
How old is Eric now?
Eric is the same age as Ben, just about, but his birthday is in January.
He's in that group too, right?
No, Eric's not racing today.
Oh, okay. I thought Eric was in that group with Ben. Okay.
Jonathan Jolar, though, there are two other juniors his age.
That are in the threes.
Yeah, 15, 16s
okay.
that are in the
Good.
Threes.
And were they in the lead group up there with them too?
Yeah, they may have been slightly back. I didn't quite see them.
All right. It's about two to go, right? Two laps to go still?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good luck to him, and we'll see.
Brad House with Bike Sport Radio.
All right, so San Luis Rey was a Kahala Lagrange day with a lot of good placings by those riders. And we did get a chance to talk to one of their team leaders, Marco Fantoni. Let's take a listen to him, see what he had to say. Bike Sport Radio, where we give you the race results on the radio. I'm here with Marco Fantoni. Did you just finish?
Fantoni? Ooh, I'm Italian now. Marco Fantoni is about to go racing at...
You're not... Oh, that's right. You're racing 35s, right?
Yep.
Okay, cool. What time did they start?
105.
105.
How many guys you got on the team? Kahala Lagrange today.
We have four guys out here.
All right. What do you think of the new course? It's not quite as steep, huh? A little different.
It's going to be interesting. A little concern on the first downhill. Obviously, they're cutting a lap off of the normal five laps. So in typical 35-plus fashion, things are probably going to go from the gun. Narrow downhill, it sort of reminds me of Boulevard.
Boulevard, right.
Which is not one of my favorite downhills.
So right. It has a long, long downhill right after the start.
Hopefully things will stay somewhat together, and then things will start splitting up on the lower section and coming back up the hill.
Yeah. And hopefully you guys can tell everybody to be cool in the feed zone. The feed zone's right after a U-turn. And, of course, the beginner riders, the fives, they were attacking in the feed zone. Not cool.
No. So. And that's, you know, 35s are a little more civil when it comes to that. But
right.
You know, if it's anything like yesterday at Barrio Logan, it's going to be the Amgen team out to just play with the field.
Oh, boy. Should be a tough one then. All right, we'll see you out there. We saw the Lagrange tent in the feed zone. I'll be in the feed zone. We got a guy also out there. So.
Excellent.
Brad House, Bike Sport Radio. Okay.
More results. April 26th, the Dana Point Grand Prix took place. In fourth place in the women's pro, Corinne Rivera. Third place in the women's pro, Kathy Cheatley. Second place, Gina Grain. And your winner, Nikki Butterfield. The men's pro, in fifth place, UCI Bissell Pro Cycling Team's Cody O'Reilly. Fourth place, Kelly Benefit Strategies, Alejandro Candelario. In third place, Cola Vida, Sutterholm, Lucas Haido. Second place, SC Velo's Jeremiah Wiskovich, and your winner from Rock Racing, Rasan Bahati. You can get complete results at scnca.org, and that's for the Dana Point Grand Prix. On May 2nd, the Barrio Logan Grand Prix took place in San Diego. In the Pro Women's, third place, Pam Schuster, riding for Helens Cannondale. Second place, Kahala Lagrange, Beatrice Rodriguez. And your winner, Anna Lang. The Pro Men's seventh place winner, Kahala Lagrange, Jorge Alvarado. In sixth place, Kahala Lagrange, Brandon Gritters. Fifth place, Justin Kerr. Fourth place, Amgen Giant Masters, Thurlow Rogers. Third place, Team Mountain Khakis, Eric Barlevov. Second place, Kahala Lagrange, Alexi Martinez. And your winner, SC Velo, Jeremiah Wiskovich. April 26th, the Kenda Cup West took place at Santa Ynez Valley in the Pro Women's Cross Country with a time of 2:11:52, riding for Show Air Specialized for Murrieta, California, Allison Mann. In second place with a time of 2:09, riding for Kenda Tomac Hayes, out of Heber City, Utah, Kathy Sherwin. And your winner with a time of 2:08:36, Kenda Tomac Hayes, Amanda Carey. The Pro Men's Cross Country at the Kenda Cup West in third place with a time of 1:49, Kenda Tomac Hayes, Andy Schultz, out of Missoula, Montana. In second place with a time of 1:46:53, Oakley Seedy's Aaron Olson, and your winner with a time of 1:44 from Show Air Specialized, Sid Taberly. Complete results for the Kenda Cup, including the current standings, can be found at mtb-uscup.com. The LA Velodrome, Friday night at the races, April 17th. Top four riders in the Omnium for the evening, Empower Coaching Systems' Andy Sparks took fourth place. Bike Religion's Tom Peterson in third place. Bike Religion's Colt Peterson in second place. And your winner, Empower Coaching Systems' Sarah Hammer. Also, more track racing, the Encino Velodrome, the big score at Encino Velodrome, April 4th in the Pro Category 1 and 2 Omnium. In fifth place, Team Velocity's Christian Lindensmith. In fourth place, Team Velocity's Mike McMahon. Third place, Hawk Relay's Jennifer Reeder. Second place, Encino Velo's Tony Tratinero. And your winner from Hawk Relay, Dina Eaton. Dina Eaton, that's at the Encino Velodrome. Full results and everything that's going on at Encino at encinovelodrome.org. O-R-G. So let's go to our upcoming events now. Upcoming events in Southern California. On May 9th, we have No Brakes Track Racing at the Velodrome, the Lavra Cup at the LA Velodrome in Carson, California, on the campus of Cal State Dominguez Hills. That's the LA Velodrome Racing Association, May 9th. Full details at lavelodrome.org. On May 10th, the Brea Criterium is presented by Velo Avanti in Brea. Full details at scnca.org. May 15th, 16th, and 17th, the Kern County Women's Stage Race is presented by Velo Promo. This is a fantastic opportunity for women of all levels and ages to race in Kern County. Five stages. Full details at www.velopromo.com. Also May 16th and 17th, a new event, the Ventura County Stage Race, presented by the Downtown Ventura Organization. Full details at bikestyleusa.com. Again, that's bikestyleusa.com, the Ventura County Stage Race. On May 17th, Pacific Sunset Velo presents their Mid-Season Criterium in Ontario. Again, racing for all levels and abilities out there on May 17th in Ontario, pacificsunsetvelo.com for more details. On May 23rd, Southern California and Nevada will be hosting the State Time Trial Championships. This is the individual time trials at Lake Los Angeles. That's May 23rd. scnca.org for all details on the Southern California and Southern Nevada State Individual Time Trial Championships. And on May 24th, Round 4 of the Masters Cycle League continues with the Barry Wolf Grand Prix in Woodland Hills. There is also racing for all levels and abilities. And again, that's the Masters Cycle League, round number 4, the Barry Wolf Grand Prix. Full details on that event at masterscycleleague.com. All right, this is Brad. All right, we got some fun stuff for you from the San Luis Rey feed zone. You should have been there, but to describe it descriptively here, the feed zone at the San Luis Rey road race was right after a U-turn. And it was really, really fun watching these Category 4 and 5 beginner riders trying to feed water bottles out there. We had a fumble, actually. One of the riders grabbed his bottle, dropped it, and trapped it on his hip, between his hand and his hip, and then actually grabbed onto it, put it on his bike, and took off. It was incredible. So here's some sounds from the feed zone at San Luis Rey Road Race. Okay, so feed zone. The men's category fives just went through, and it just fed Campbell Nimick from Penn CC, Bike Palace Back on Track. And I believe that might have been the first time he's been fed. It was awesome. He fumbled the bottle, caught it on his hip, and still managed to save it, and it took off with his bottle. So he's in the 17th place position. San Luis Rey Road Race, Brad House with Bike Sport Radio. So, Bike Sport Radio here, Brad House. We're here in the feed zone now at the San Luis Rey feed zone. And we're here with real feeders. We've got Annie Spaulding. We've got Lisa Hackenberg. Who are you feeding?
Hi, I am a professional feeder, not an amateur. I was feeding Brad House in the 45-plus category.
Oh, that guy. Okay, he's done. And who are you feeding today?
Robert Spaulding from Ironfly, woo, and Paul DeVille.
Paul DeVille, yeah, Ironfly. All right, we're here with real feeders in the feed zone at Bike Sport Radio. All right, Bike Sport Radio, we're here with, what kind of, fours, right?
Bob?
Four, yeah.
What happened out there? How far did you get?
I got almost back to the hill, and that was it. Just felt it
wild. Oh.
And
squishy.
Flat, yeah, way yeah. Squishy.
No follow vehicle today, huh?
Just a motorcycle. Wasn't going to help.
Do you think that John...
Bummer. Terrible, horrible, no good day for Ironfly at the San Luis Rey Road Race with Bike Sport Radio here. All right, Bike Sport Radio. Again, we're here with killradio.org. The phone number is 213-252-0998. That's 213-252-0998. And we give you what you need to race bikes, bike racing, bike racers, all that information. Got to tell you a little bit about something coming up, a new roadie ride for new roadies if you want to get into road riding that the Bike Palace is conducting in San Pedro. Here's a little bit on that. All right, this is Brad House with Bike Sport Radio. I'm here at the Bike Palace in San Pedro, thebikepalace.com, where we just started a beginner newbies road ride for newcomers to the road that want to learn how to ride road and everything, led by Ann Earlstead. And we're getting ready to start here. We got Jim and Matthew, and we're just going over some preliminary safety check before we start our ride. And again, this is a newbies ride for beginners road riding. Riding in traffic, riding in groups, and learning some basic bike technique. So this should build interest in cycling throughout Southern California. This ride's going to go on for 8 weeks on Saturdays at 10 a.m. at the Bike Palace in San Pedro. So, you know, a lot of us get wrapped up in the local race scene and racing, and, you know, our show is all about racing and everything, but everybody started somewhere, and the Bike Palace, I think, is doing a great thing out here with this newbie road ride. Again, that's Saturdays at 10 a.m. from the Bike Palace in San Pedro. Visit thebikepalace.com for further details. The newbie road ride, San Pedro. All right, big thanks to the Bike Palace. Again, that's thebikepalace.com. And you're here with Bike Sport Radio. So today's special guest we got out here today, the local association for cycling, the SCNCA, board of trustee member, Eric Smith. And let's mic up Eric here and see. How you doing, Eric?
Hi, Brad.
Hey,
how
thanks
are you?
For, good. Thanks for coming down. And Eric's with the SCNCA Board of Trustees. And for starters, why don't you tell us a little bit about start at the top, I guess. The SCNCA is a local association, but let's start at the top. Tell us about the USCI, U.S. Olympic Committee, et cetera.
Sure, I'd be glad to. The UCI is the International Cycling Union, headquartered out of Switzerland. It's an organization comprised of 170 national cycling federations, which USA Cycling is one of them. They oversee racing globally, if you will. They establish the rules and regulations used for world championships and races like the Tour de France, Tour of Italy. They also conduct the world championships, and they conduct the cycling events in the Olympics. USA Cycling is one of the national cycling federations belonging to UCI. They're a member of the U.S. Olympic Committee. And then under USA Cycling, we have the local associations. We have about 30 of them now. That was formed in 2003.
So for sanctioned bicycle racing, then this is international, worldwide. The UCI is the top, and that is an acronym. Stands for, I think it's something in French, probably neither you or nor I can pronounce it.
We just call it International Cycling Union.
Okay, so international events worldwide are sanctioned under UCI. Then there's the U.S. Olympic Committee. That's made up of members of the UCI or members of USAC or how?
U.S. Olympic Committee is comprised of different national federations like track and field, gymnastics, swimming, wrestling, archery, baseball, basketball, and USA Cycling.
Right. Okay, so it's a cross-functional committee including all of the sports that are featured in the Olympics, for which cycling gets some good representation. Okay, cool. So then you have at the national level, now we're in the U.S. here, we come down to the national level, you got USAC, USA Cycling. That's usacycling.org for those of you listeners who want to find out more. So tell us about USAC. They sanction what in the U.S. then?
USAC is responsible for approximately 50,000 members, people holding a racing license, headquartered in Colorado Springs. 50,000 members, 87% of them are male, and about 13% are female. They cover various disciplines, road, track, cyclocross, mountain, BMX, and collegiate racing. That all falls under the venue of USA Cycling.
Okay, that's right. All types of racing. We're here at Bike Sport Radio. We like to cover all types of racing. BMX, not just for kids. You got adults. I don't know. They race BMX racers, 30s and 40-year-olds still racing BMX.
Some of the best.
Yeah, and then mountain bike, for those of you that like to get dirty, there's all kinds of disciplines in mountain bike. And then road racing is broken down into criterium, time trial, road racing, and track racing. Now, USAC, there's also pro bike racing. There's a thing called the U.S. Pro Tour and the NRC. I believe that stands for National Race Calendar. Tell us a little bit about those, Eric.
The U.S. Pro Tour is comprised of those races that are on the UCI America's Tour. That would be the U.S. Pro Championships, races like we do out here, the Amgen Tour of California, Tour of Missouri, Tour of Georgia up until this year. So there's nine events in that Pro Tour, if you will. National Race Calendar, the NRC, is comprised of about 30 races nationally. That brings out the best of the amateur and pro riders. You do not see the UCI teams competing in the NRC races. It's for the local pro teams and then the amateurs.
Okay. So it's kind of a subset of the U.S. Pro. Well, no, it's not really. It's separate, actually. It's its own.
It's separate. It's you can almost look at it as
semi-pro
as the farm team for the for the UCI pro teams.
Okay, that's cool. And the NRC, that's the National Race Calendar. Now the local events can get on the National Race Calendar once they're elevated to some level, I suppose, of professionalism.
Yeah, any race can apply for NRC status. There's a form that anybody is welcome to fill out. They're looking for certain financial commitments, overall look of the race, the technical aspects of the race. This year in Southern California, we have three races, the Redlands Classic, which was last month, Dana Point, which was last week, and then Manhattan Beach, which is coming up the end of June.
That's right. The Manhattan Beach Grand Prix, that's been around a long time, one of the oldest races in the U.S., huh?
48 years.
Wow. We'll get into more of that later in another month or so, coming up in July. So let's move on down the ladder now, a little bit more of the local levels of racing. Now, district, regional, how are these titles work? What is a local association? What is a district, a regional rep? How they came to be, maybe? Tell us a little bit about that.
Let me take you back before 2003 when the LAs were formed. There were five regional reps, and each rep had 10 states that they were responsible for. That person was extremely overworked. They had to do all the permitting, the scheduling, officials. It was an impossible job. So USA Cycling decided in 2003 to go to the local associations. We have 25 state associations and five that are regional. New England will have a New England Local Association, which has four or five of the smaller states combined. The regional reps are still there. They still have the 8 to 10 states they're responsible for. They focus on the NRC races, and they also oversee all the local associations. Each local association is a 501c3. Elected trustees, nobody gets paid, it's all volunteer positions. And we're funded by USA Cycling each year at $10 per licensed rider.
Okay, so what used to be a one-person job is now a group function. These associations are made up of groups, and they share the responsibilities in the group, right?
Yeah, for our association, we have seven trustees. And we do the day-to-day operations for USA Cycling. We do things like scheduling the race calendar between road and cyclocross and the three velodromes we have out here. We do over 100 races a year. We oversee about 3,500 riders. And for some of the older riders out there, the average racing age here in Southern California is 39 years old.
Wow.
Amazing. We do the training for officials and assign all the officials. We deal with all sorts of membership issues. We process all the upgrades for the riders that are upgrading through categories. As they get better, they upgrade higher categories, better racing. We also manage the budget for funding and grants for riders and for juniors. Also, we assign 18 different championship races during the season and award close to 300 state championship jerseys.
Right. There's state championships are held regionally throughout the U.S., and I guess each association has its own state championships within its association.
And California being a big state, and California alone has 18% of all the licensed riders in the U.S., we have two associations, one up in Northern California and one down here in Southern California.
Right. The
so we don't have a true state championship. If you will, we have a NorCal and a SoCal, which lends to some interesting discussions about who's got the best riders in California.
Well, we do in Southern California, of course.
I'd like to think so.
So that's scnca.org or scnca.com. Either one will get you there to get you where you need to go, and that site is the site of the local association, right?
And our territory starts in the south at the border, goes east to the Nevada-Arizona border, and goes north to just north of Paso Robles. So it's a pretty big area to oversee.
Okay, and it includes Nevada, but parts of Nevada.
Southern Nevada.
Southern Nevada, right.
Which
so
is
this
primarily
is
Las Vegas.
Okay, right. So it's Southern California and Southern Nevada Cycling Association. That's scnca.org. So we're at Bike Sport Radio at 213-252-0998, and we're chatting with SCNCA trustee and President Eric Smith of the Southern California and Southern Nevada Cycling Association. And at Bike Sport Radio, we're always interested in what it takes to get into bike racing and where one starts. So, Eric, maybe you can tell us a little bit about the local association's support on how somebody gets into bike racing, licensing, and so on and so forth.
First of all, a basic license is $60. It's an annual recurring fee from USA Cycling. And when you get your license, you are a Category 5. After doing 10 races, and you don't have to finish them, you just have to enter them, you can upgrade to a Category 4 and eventually up the ranks to a 3, to a 2, to a 1, and then a professional. But it really starts at the club level. We have over 500 clubs in California, both in NorCal and SoCal. They range in size from one individual to several hundred members. If you're interested in racing or even learning about cycling and getting some better skills, improving yourself as a cyclist, I can't think of a better place to start. You'll find most of the clubs are very anxious to welcome you in and take you under their wings. First and foremost, racing is a team sport. It's not an individual sport unless you're doing a time trial. It's a great place to learn how to ride effectively, some of the basic racing skills, some training for you, nutrition, and also some really good tips on what kind of equipment you need to advance yourself in the sport.
All right. We'll get into a little bit more on the clubs in a minute or so. We've got a call in here from the promoter of the Encino Velodrome, Alfred Nash. How you doing, Alfred?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah, you had the Encino Velodrome is going great guns. Season's opened already, and you got some results to report for us from, last weekend?
Yeah, I sure do, actually, from Saturday. Before I do, the first thing I want to do is thank Eric and the SCNCA for all they do to support track cycling. They've been a real help in helping us with the juniors get ready for the national championships, which we're fortunate enough to have coming back to Southern California again this year. So anyway, big thanks to Eric and the crew at the SCNCA.
Thanks, Alan.
Yeah, I think that's great to support the juniors, definitely, especially with what I just heard about the average racing age being 39. We need to get juniors out there on their bikes, and I think both velodromes have some pretty good junior programs to get juniors into racing.
They sure do. At the Encino Velodrome, we have free junior training every Thursday night at 5 o'clock.
Nice.
We supply bikes, helmets, anything they need. They just have to have a parent and a pulse. That's
nice.
About all we ask, and off they can go. And we had some great junior racing on Saturday. A lot of kids getting ready for the district Southern California Nevada Cycling Association Junior Track Championships will be happening at Encino Velodrome in 2 weeks on May 16th. So a bunch of them were out to test out the track and test out their competition, and there was some really great, exciting racing. A lot of people had a lot of fun
Nice. So is that's the state championship is coming up that soon, huh?
Yeah, it sure is.
May 16th, you said?
May 16th, okay. Uh-huh.
And where do we find out more about that?
EncinoVelodrome.org okay. is the Velodrome's website, and it's a great place to get information not only about our races, but the training programs and all kinds of different ways to stay connected and get involved with the Velodrome.
Right. One thing about the Velodrome that I always try to push on our show here is spectators, if you want to just come watch a bike race, that is the race to watch. Go watch a Velodrome race. That'll get you pumped up. You can see the whole race. It's, 250, 350 meter track. You see the whole thing. It's not where riders start out of the line, they disappear for 2 hours and come back later. It's an awesome spectator sport.
Yeah, it sure is. The whole race plays out in front of you. We've got some great announcers for track in Southern California, and help spectators who are new to the sport get involved, understand what's going on, and watch the tactics. It's as a lot of people like to joke, it's the most exciting part of the race, all boiled down to just the fast and furious sprint at the end and a lot of stuff like that. So it's very interesting.
Right. Yeah. Right. So how'd it go this weekend?
Really well. We had Chas Michael Morales win the Junior 12 and Under Omnium. Bobby Unverzad of South Bay Willman took the 13-16. We had a good turnout from the women. As people may or may not know, there's an event called the Madison, which is a team event.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, we've been helping women get prepared for it's going to be an exhibition event at this year's Elite Championships, Track Championships, which is also in Southern California. That's in the first week of October. And we've been running Women's Madison every month out there at the Encino Velodrome.
Wow.
So we had a bunch of women racing the Madison, and then they had their own Omniums in addition.
Right.
Tara Unverzad, also of South Bay Wheelman, took that one.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
All right. That's so Bobby's mother, those of you that don't know out there.
Yeah.
he actually got her into bike racing, right?
I don't know which came first.
I think she told me he actually got her into racing because he started it with the youth thing, and then he actually got her interested in it. Yeah. And now she's a state champion, and state champion Stoker, actually, I must say, on the back of my tandem.
Hey, awesome.
And we want to defend state championship. She's all gung-ho for it and ready to go in two more weeks. We're going to be out there defending our state championships, me and Tara.
Yeah.
So,
results
for the weekend.
Yeah. Let's see, we also, because of the demographics here in Southern California, we actually run a good number of masters races. We actually have 40-plus, 50-plus, and 60-plus. Scott Evans of the Now MS Society took the 40-plus. David Tonello, all the way up down from Santa Maria, Bart Barn, won the 50-plus, actually lapped the field in the points race. And then Henry Shibata has been representing for the 60-plus. He's from Encino Velo. Then Scott Evans, who was a winner in the 40-plus, teamed up with local phenom Kit Carson to take the Madison. It was 31 miles an hour for half an hour. We had six teams going at it, and it was some really good, hard-on Madison racing.
Right. Yeah, the one thing about the Madison is that the speeds are faster because it's a team of two, and only one of you is actually racing at a time while the other's recovering, or at least trying to recover. It's an incredible spectator feat, too. You see a bunch of riders racing around at full speed, and some slow riders drop into the pack. They grab their hands, and they exchange with a fling, and the other riders pop out of the pack. It's just beautifully choreographed. If you haven't seen the Madison, you listeners out there, you got to go watch a Madison race. It's incredible.
Yeah, you'll never forget it, and you'll want to see more. It's the highlight of our event. We put it right in the middle of the programs, and we'd be running at 6 o'clock. Our next race is June 6th, so be sure to come out for that.
June 6th, okay.
EncinoVelodrome.org? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, and actually our next Madison race, we're having a really big one, big event over Memorial Day weekend, May 23rd and 24th. It's part of a West Coast series. It was recently touted in the communication from USA Cycling itself. Easton has put up... prizes. We're having races in Encino Velodrome, Alpenrose up in Portland, Oregon, and Merrimore up in Redmond, Washington. Mm-hmm. Three race series, including Madison racing for both men and women, and then match sprints. So definitely check out that. That's the Far West Championships Memorial Day weekend.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Let's see. We also had a good group of Cat Fives. Not your typical Cat 5 racing. A lot of these guys are going to be getting upgrades very soon, I can tell. We had Nathan Papp from UC, coming down from UC Santa Barbara, just dominated, and but with a lot of stiff competition too. It was nobody was getting it for free on Saturday night. On in the 3-4s, Alexander Walter from Encino Velo took the Omnium, and then in the Pro 1-2s, we had a special visit from Tony Cruz, BMC Pro, actually came out and raced. And actually came in second. Kit Carson of Now MS Society was just flying and was unstoppable. Wow. He's off to Belgium very soon here, and you know he's already got a national championship, junior championship under his belt, and there you can expect to see a lot of really good things from him in the future, and right now for crying out loud. Anyway, he was there at the Encino Velodrome with Tony Cruz and Jack Lindquist actually fleshed out the podium there. So it was full on racing in every category.
Very nice
and very exciting.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to getting some live audio feeds from you guys at your next race. If you can get some audio feed and feed it to our show, we'll be happy to play it on the air.
Yeah. No, we're definitely going to do that. Yeah. So thanks so much for having us on, and once again, thanks so much to Eric Smith and the folks at the SCNCA that do all they do to support cycling in general and track cycling in specific.
Yep, we're still working at it.
All right.
Thanks for calling, Alfred.
Okay,
thanks,
bye-bye.
Al.
All right, Alfred Nash, the Encino Velodrome, encinovelodrome.org. So Eric, we were talking about bike clubs is kind of a good way to get started for the newbies and stuff, and riders can benefit from bike clubs.
Yeah, let me talk.
Are the bike clubs members of the USAC, or how does that work? A bike club has to be in existence as part of the USAC, or
most of the bike clubs join USA Cycling. It's $150 a year to join, and they enjoy the same benefits as the members with various insurance benefits and travel benefits, other discounts.
And is a bike club required to do anything besides just joining USAC? And then how does that help them with, like, they get insurance, I guess, through the USAC? Yeah. Or
technically, the way the rules are written a while ago, each club had to put on a race each year. But that really isn't the case any longer. We're seeing more and more teams will group together, have 3 or 4 clubs on one permit to do one race. They can bring more resources into that race. You can hold a clinic. You can hold a training ride. It's not something that we monitor that closely any longer. We have plenty of racing out here with the way it runs now.
You know how many clubs there are just in Southern California and Nevada? So I think it's Southern Nevada.
I would say there's probably about 220. Of them, there's probably 75 to 80 that are actively racing each weekend with their club members. Some of the larger ones, like LaGrange, you saw the results they had this weekend. San Diego Bike Club down in San Diego, South Bay Wheelman, the Bike Palace team out of San Pedro. A lot of active racing going on here.
Yeah, Velo Club LaGrange, Kahala, they cleaned up at San Luis Rey yesterday, the San Luis Rey road race in the San Luis Rey Downs area. So, do the clubs come and go a lot in groups, or have you seen any transition? Like, are there always new clubs around? So, like, let's say I live in a region where there just isn't a bike club. Is there? You can start your own, I guess. Anybody can start a club, or
yeah. You know, the best thing to do is if you go to usacycling.org, and there's a link there for find a club, and you can click on the state of California, and you can list things alphabetically or by city, and you can see where they're all at. Bike clubs pretty much tend to stick around. I don't see them folding. I'll see new clubs come on. What you'll see is a club will then start forming teams. A team is just an individual group of people within that club racing under perhaps a different name than the club. But the cycling's a very popular sport. I rarely see a club go under.
All right. So that's usacycling.org. Go to that site, click on California. You probably can sort maybe by zip code or sort by city. Sure. Go to your local city and start picking out a bike club and ask them, hey, what's the deal? I want to race bicycles. Tell me more. and the local club level is where it's at for starting out, and you move up from there. Now, you need to buy a bicycle racing license, right? That's through USAC?
Right. There's a couple ways to do it. If you're not sure that you're going to be racing for the long haul, you want to just test the waters, you can buy a one-day license at a race for just $10. You can buy as many of those as you want, and when you eventually decide that it's probably more cost-effective to buy the license, you can get $10 knocked off that $60 fee by telling us that you bought a one-day license someplace.
And the license will allow you to then race USAC-sanctioned events, and it also categorizes you, right? How do the categories work?
Starting as a Cat 5, you do 10 races, 10 mass start races, and once you've done those, we'll upgrade you to a Cat 4. As a Cat 5, you'll find a lot of beginning riders. You'll find riders that have been there forever and don't ever want to upgrade. You're limited to just 50 people in the Cat 5 races. There's a bit of a safety factor there, which is 50 people. When you make the jump to a Cat 4, now you're racing against more experienced riders. You'll see fields upwards of 130, 140 riders in a Cat 4 field. So the race takes on a whole different personality when you have that many people. And you're typically racing for 45 minutes versus racing for maybe 25 minutes or a half hour as a Cat 5. So your fitness level has to increase accordingly.
All right, USAC, local clubs, and we're here with Bike Sport Radio. I'm Brad House. The phone number is 213-252-0998, and we're talking about local racing with SCNCA trustee Eric Smith. Is there anything else you want to add about local racing, maybe a little bit about equipment or basic skills? We got a couple more minutes here.
Yeah, I get a lot of questions from people who come up to me in a race and say, How do I do this? How do I get started? What's the process? The first thing I tell people is look for a club. It's really a difficult sport to learn on your own, to learn the tactics and skills you need. So find that club in your area. They will do everything they can to help you. They'll help you how to train. They'll teach you the difference between riding hard and fast and how to race effectively. They'll teach you how to race at 30 miles an hour, elbow to elbow, going through a 90-degree turn.
Ow.
They'll also tell you the basic rules of racing you need to do. They'll tell you about equipment. You might even be able to find a used bike within the club. And you really don't have to spend more than $800 to $1,000 for a decent racing bike that'll last you for a few seasons to get started. It's not a real expensive sport to get into. And probably the best thing I can tell you is, go to some of the local races and watch what goes on there. Watch the Cat 5s. Look at what they're riding. Talk to the people. Ask them how they got started. And then pick a race as your first race. Don't pick one of the national races like Manhattan Beach, but pick one of the local races, a little bit smaller, a little bit more low-key, and do your first race. Do not expect to finish your first race. It's rare to find somebody going out for their first race who can hang on.
Is that right?
And finish. And
wow.
That's part of the sport.
Yeah, speed, speed, speed. It's all about speed. Yeah, from what I've understood, your beginning levels, you don't go out and pound the miles and climb the hills for hours and hours and hours. You need to do a 40-minute workout at your absolute fastest limit, because that's what the race is like, right? So, all right, well, we got a call coming in here. Hold on, let me see if we can take this call.
Bike Sport Radio, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Paula Carvajal from Metro.
Oh, hi, Paula.
Hi.
This is Brad with Bike Sport Radio. We are live on the air, and let me guess, you're here from Metro to talk about Bike to Work Week.
Exactly.
All right, tell us a little bit about it. It's coming up, right?
Yes, it's coming up. It's the week of May 11th through May 15th,
mm-hmm.
and we're celebrating California Bike Commute Week. And for LA County, our Bike to Work Day is Thursday, May 14th. And on that day, we'll be having, we've got over 44, or about 44 pit stop locations throughout LA County. And these are locations where bicyclists and participants can come out and get giveaways and some snacks. And we'll also be offering free rides on transit. And there are about 12 different agencies doing the free rides for bicyclists on that day.
All right. Very nice. And do we sign up for this, or a website or anything? Or?
People can, I guess, bicyclists who want to participate can go to metro.net / bike to work, and there's a pledge form that they can download and then send back to us, or they can go online directly to the CBC website through us or through CBC, and they can pledge on their side as well. And everyone who pledges is entered to win some of our giveaway prizes. And this year we've got great sponsors, and a couple of our big prizes are a electric bike from Turi Technologies.
Wow.
And a two-night stay at a resort in Utah called Red Mountain Resort and Spa.
Wow.
So it looks like it's going to be great.
And, very good.
In addition to the Thursday, we've also got activities planned for every day of the week. So on Monday, we're kicking off Bike to Work Week in Elvera Street, and it's going to be a huge, huge event. We're inviting bicyclists to come out and participate in the event. We expect one of our sponsors is Fox TV, and so they will be coming out and featuring us on their morning show. So it'd be great if we had cyclists out there participating.
More media for cycling. We love the media.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, it's our opportunity to put a message out there about safety, about concerns that affect bicyclists.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great opportunity to come out and do that.
And we at Bike Sport Radio pass along a safety message at the end of our show each time, too.
Great.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, Paula.
Sure.
Metro.net/bike to work.
Exactly.
Ride your bikes to work.
Exactly.
Thanks a lot, Paula.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, so wrapping it up here. Anything you want to add, Eric, at the
I
end
just want to talk a little bit about the age of cyclists. We said the average age is 39, but we actually start licensing riders at 10 years old, and they compete for state championships. We compete all the way up to 90 years old. We have Gordy Shields down in San Diego, who's out there every year at 92 years old, I think.
Is that how old he is now? Gordy Shields.
Competing.
Wow.
And you'll find now at most of the local races, they'll carve out a half hour or so during the day to have kids' races. We'll start them on tricycles at about 3 years old, and we'll race them from about 3 to 9 years old. Just a short 100 meters just to get them excited about the sport. But it's really a sport that's open to just about any age you can imagine.
That's right. All right. Well, thanks for coming down, Eric, and visiting us with us here at Bike Sport Radio. Appreciate you coming in.
Thanks, Brad.
All right, so Bike Sport Radio, we are closing up here, and we always wrap it up with a little bit of a little safety tip, safety message. This message today has to do with intersections, and intersections is where all of the accidents always happen, it seems like, is at some kind of a crossing when you're crossing. So cyclists, if you're going straight at an intersection, take charge of your safety. Go straight. If you're going straight, move left. Don't stay on the right side of the road. Cars will think you're turning right. Assert your right to the road. Merge early. Drive your bike like you would drive. Drivers, same thing. Don't speed past cyclists and make a right turn right in front of the cyclists. That's not nice, especially at an intersection, because you just don't know what that cyclist is doing if they haven't moved to the left. And cyclists, drive your bike like you would drive a car. That's the best way to be safe out there. Drive your bike. I'm Brad House with Bike Sport Radio.